Say hello to a new friend on an old road. Take a two-lane trip of memories into mysteries unknown. Come along for the ride. Jim Hinckley's America. Jim Hinckley's America.
Hey, good morning, my friends. A little bit of music from Joe and Woody and the boys of the road crew to get us started. I see Carrie Barrick is with us already this morning. Great, wonderful. We're going to have some fun. We're going to talk about Route 66. We're going to talk about Oklahoma. Those folks, I'll tell you what, if they're not inspiring, when it comes to Route 66, the Route 66 Centennial, those folks are selling everything on the hog, including the squeal. They're getting this thing figured out real quick. Hey, Miss Carrie, how are you doing this morning?
Good morning. I'm wonderful. How are you this morning?
You know, every day's good. Some are just better than others.
I agree completely.
So how are things in Oklahoma?
Things are great in Oklahoma. I'm calling you today from Tulsa, of course, the capital of Route 66, as we like to say. And things are going great. We are in our last week before our Route 66 revitalization grant closes. So our whole state is scrambling to get all of their projects together and get those submitted. And we can't wait to see what our folks on Route 66 are coming up with.
Well, I'll tell you, you know, gosh darn it. Like I say, you folks are really the inspiration right now. Tulsa specifically, and I really like that tagline, the capital of Route 66, because that's really what you folks have managed to accomplish there. You're setting a standard, you're raising the bar, and providing people with ideas, encouragement, things they can plagiarize and use in their town, and it's pretty exciting.
Well, thank you, Jim. You know, our Lieutenant Governor Matt Pinnell had this vision about 5 years ago, and he called everybody together and said, guys, this is coming. This is a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity for our state and for the route in its entirety. And so let's come together, let's dream big, and let's enhance what we have, preserve what we have, and maybe add a little something cool on top of it. So that's what we're doing. You know, we are very fortunate that our legislature has been very supportive as well. They created this Route 66 revitalization grant and appropriated $6.6 million annually for 4 years leading up to 2026. And those dollars are what's creating this grant. And the grant is going to preservation of historic Route 66 assets in our state. It's going to help with signage and wayfinding. It's going to new selfie stops and new exhibits and new destinations. So we really want to honor our history and, you know, that authentic, quirky Route 66 that we love. But then we also want to, you know, add a few more things and tell a few more stories. So I'm so proud of our state and its realization that Route 66 is important, not only to us and not only to our nation, but internationally. Mm-hmm. You know, it's the symbol of freedom, as you know, as well. And so it's just really exciting. We've got some great women of going, and I'm lucky to get to help everybody out.
Well, you know, you mentioned this is a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. It's once-in-a-lifetime because we won't be around to see the bicentennial, right. The bicentennial of Route 66. But Route 66, the communities in rural America has suffered for decades. And this is a unique opportunity for communities along the highway corridor to breathe new life to their communities, economic development, showcase what makes these communities unique. And, well, perhaps give them a little spark towards a renaissance.
You know, I couldn't have said it any better. you know, as I'm finding, well, the past 2 years of my life, I've spent traveling and visiting with managers and Rotary groups and in all of our cities, large and small, but mostly small, and are, you know, telling them about the centennial, but also reminding them that I like to say in my presentation, it's not just Dewey Street. So in Sepulpa, Oklahoma, Route 66 is called Dewey Street, and it's the main street that goes through their downtown. And, you know, when you live in these towns, this is the street that you take to go to the grocery store, to go to church, to go pick up your kids. And so it loses that, you know, awe factor that the rest of us feel. And so, you know, sometimes you have to remind people, guys, this is a big deal. You're a big deal. And, you know, how can we tell your authentic story along the route? And this, you're exactly right when you said the spark that we're seeing in these small towns is so exciting. It gives them a little push to rediscover their towns and their histories and come together for a new reason. And it is just, it's a pleasure to watch.
Well, the key to all of this is building a sense of community and community purpose. You know, that's the key to this, all of this.
Yes.
And the other part of this is getting an understanding and an awakening that no matter how small a town is, tourism is important. And tourism, I had a fellow tell me once that not all economic development is tourism, but all tourism is economic development.
Yes.
And if we build, if we make our community a place people want to visit, we also make it a place they want to live, retire, open businesses, and raise their family.
You're exactly right. In Oklahoma, in you know, we just released some new tourism numbers, and it's the third largest industry in our state with $11.8 billion in 2022. And so, you know, when you start to say these numbers, when you're in a really small town on Route 66, they say, oh, that's all Tulsa and that's all Oklahoma City. But what they don't understand is that, you know, about two thirds of those dollars are being spent on Route 66. And so I think those numbers help to spur our rural communities into thinking, hey, we want a piece of that pie, right? A lot of times in our small communities and in our small destinations, they don't have the luxury of dreaming big. They are, you know, they have to worry about the water main break or, you know, just making sure that the trash gets picked up for their city. And so they don't have that luxury. And what's really great about the grant that we are doing in our state is that it's giving them some funds to help them dream big, to maybe do something that they've been talking about for years, they've always wanted to do. And that's really where the excitement starts to build. Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, Tulsa and to a lesser degree, Oklahoma City are kind of unique when it comes to Route 66 because the big cities along Route 66, a lot of the travelers bypass those places. If for whatever reason, we've created this persona that Route 66 is small town America, and they overlook the cities. Tulsa is unique because of what you've done there, what you're accomplishing with your team that you're building, the leadership. And so since people do overlook the big cities, the rural communities are in a unique position to capitalize on this.
You're exactly right. I think when you think of Route 66, you do think of a smaller, rural, more authentic experience. But what I think people sometimes forget is that, especially in Tulsa and Oklahoma City, is that we do have these smaller districts along Route 66 that, you know, were born on because of Route 66. And they're like little mini main streets throughout our town. And each one is very unique and different. For instance, in Tulsa, we have the Kendall Whittier district, which has, you know, a predominantly Hispanic and Latinx community to it. And so you get a little texture there, a really cool experience there. And of course, the Meadowbrook District in Tulsa with Buck Adams and the Mother Road Market are fantastic. But then, you know, when you get into Oklahoma City, there are the smaller districts, like, for instance, the Uptown District with the Tower Theater. And then, of course, 39th Street District in Oklahoma City is one of the only LGBTQ plus neighborhoods that are on the route. So, you know, I think sometimes in a really strange way, you know, our big towns kind of get overlooked for that small town experience because you can find that in those unique districts.
Well, exactly. I have trouble in any town with more than three stoplights. I get crowded. and I can get over Scott Piotrowski's, you know, taking me to some places in the Los Angeles area. And, you know, it's surprising. It's small town America surrounded by skyscrapers.
Yes.
It's a lot of fun. I'll tell you, Oklahoma is really, in my opinion, Illinois is doing a very good job. Missouri is doing well, I think. But you folks in Oklahoma are the ones that are really raising the bar, if you will, and showing how this can be done and done successfully to build that sense of community. You folks are doing a tremendous job in Oklahoma. And the Centennial, well, like I said, you guys have had your eye on that for quite some time.
Well, thank you for that. You know, again, it's due to our leadership with our Lieutenant Governor Matt Pinnell and then our legislature, you know, backing it up with the funds. You know, I was lucky enough somehow to obtain this job as Route 66 coordinator for our state. And man, Jim, I have the best job in the world. I get to travel the Mother Road every day and visit with folks and dream big and try to help connect them with resources that are actually available to help them with their dreams. And, you know, it's just such a pleasure and an honor to get to work with all these amazing Oklahomans who just want to do great things and share their community with the world.
Yeah, you know, when you do something, I I'm very fortunate to do what I do. I've made some great friends, associations. I get paid for beating my gums, telling people where to go, and sharing America's story. It doesn't get better than that. Hey, I got a couple things here. A question about some things along Route 66 that most people overlook. They're not really common attractions on Route 66. Any suggestions?
Well, my goodness, I feel like we are the home of some really quirky, fun things that get overlooked. I'll tell you, right outside of Chelsea, Oklahoma, there's a bridge. And Reese Martin with our Route 66 Association is going to cringe because I don't remember the name of it. But this is the mystery. Your listeners are going to have to find it. But it's just right off of Route 66. And it's an old trush bridge. And there are these trees around. And there's this beautiful stream that run underneath it. And it is like, you pull over, you get out and stand on it, and it is like you are back in the 1930s in this beautiful environment. And I swear, like, you can hear the old cars driving over it as you're there, and you can just feel the energy. It's one of my favorite places. And I'm remiss. I'm sorry. It's a little early for me to remember the name of the bridge. Anyway, but also in Chelsea, you know, you can walk under the route. There's not too many places that have, that still have the corridors that you can walk under. You know, you go down and walk under the roadbed and then go back up, which, you know, I think is so fun. And there's some really cool murals down there. And then you can't, you know, miss the Andy Payne statue in Foyle, Oklahoma, and the totem poles there as well. And also in Texola, Oklahoma, there is the one room jail that you, it's a little harder to find. We're working on that. We're going to get some signage, but it's really cool and has some great stories.
We got a couple of folks, including Mr. Reese Martin, that chimed in and mentioned that's the Prior Creek Bridge.
Thank you, Reese Martin. Listen, this is why I hang out with him. In every meeting I have, I call or text him because I call him my Yoda, Jim, because he knows everything about Route 66, and especially in Oklahoma. So thanks, Reese.
Isn't that wonderful?
Yes.
You've got some great attractions in Tulsa. And Tulsa, with your neon sign initiatives, the Cyrus Avery Plaza, you've got some great attractions there that have become destinations in Tulsa. But I bet there's quite a few that people don't know about in Tulsa. Some great restaurants.
Absolutely. You know, I think once you start traveling through Tulsa, it's really easy to kind of veer off of 66 because there's some really great big things like the Dillon Paper attraction and OK Pop Museum and those things. But if you'll stay on the route and really follow it, you'll run across, for instance, Tally's. Jim, have you ever eaten there?
Oh, yes, Tally's. You bet. I love it.
Listen, those cinnamon rolls that are the size of a plate with the sauce, the like vanilla kind of sauce stuff they put on it. Oh, my God. In fact, you know where I'm going after this, Jim? We're going to Tally's. That's where I'm taking my
Well, keep the coffee warm. It's going to take me a while.
But, okay. Okay. Hey, next time you're in town, we'll meet at Tally's.
You don't.
Also, there's another place, and it's right across from Buck Adams, right there in the Meadowbrook District, and it's called the Decapolis. And, you know, I love Mary Beth Babcock at Buck Adams, and if you haven't been, you got to go there. They have the Buck Adams Muffler Man. It's an amazing place to get a souvenir, lots of local art. And she's working on a second muffler woman named Stella. So really, really forward facing. They get a lot of great attention. It's well warranted. But if you look across the street in this kind of, it's not quite as flashy. There's this store called Decapolis, and William Franklin owns it. And he is unbelievable. I can't even imagine what the inside of his mind looks like. But you walk in, and it's like you're walking into an amusement park store. Like, there you can mine for rocks. There's dinosaurs. There's the whole place. You just walk in, and you're transformed into all these different worlds, and you can buy candy, you can buy, you know, a beautiful tiara, you can buy a piece of art. It's unbelievable, and definitely worth a stop.
Speaking of food, Reese gave me a new one here on Peoria Avenue, just off Route 66. He said Weber's Hamburgers with homemade root beer. I got to tell you, homemade root beer. I know of three places now on Route 66 that do that. And there's one here in Kingman that has taken a century-plus old recipe. They're making non-alcoholic ginger ale. It's a microbrewery downtown.
Wow.
So cinnamon rolls. You know, the thing is, if you know me, you don't get in this kind of shape and not drive around and eat cinnamon rolls and drink root beer.
But, I love it. So next time you're in town, we're going to go for the cinnamon rolls, and then we'll drive over and have some root beer. How about that?
I'll take you up on it. You got to be careful feeding stray dogs, though. I may never leave. Another project you guys have in Oklahoma that I picked up on was this young people, the Explorers Club, trying to get children involved.
Absolutely. You know, we have such a wonderful Oklahoma Route 66 Association led by our fearless leader, again, Reese Martin, the Yoda. You know, I think they address something that I think we're all trying to figure out across the route, which is how do we engage our younger folks? How do we engage the millennials and really help them fall in love with Route 66? It's a whole new demographic that, listen, some of them get it, but a lot of them, you know, they're just starting to learn about it. And so it's been a real challenge, especially for us at the state, of how we can incorporate them. And Sam Eggstance, which is part of the association, came up with this amazing program to call, it's called the Route 66 Explorers Club, and it's for ages 8 to 18. And it's a membership. You pay $20, but my goodness, what you get out of it is unbelievable. So first of all, just for being in the club, you can get free perks across the state, like 2 free admissions to the Stafford Space and Museum, which would automatically pay for your membership. You can get free ice cream at the Highway Cafe. And Jim, if you haven't eaten there, there's another place we're going to have to go. You're just going to have to come out for about a week, Jim. And then, so there's all these kinds of perks that you can get with your Explorers membership. But then also on top of that, there are challenges and that you can work on even at home. And then once you complete those, you send in pictures and we send you a certificate of completion along with a pin, like a lapel pin that works as your badge. And so it was really a way, a brilliant way that Sam came up with to help our association connect with those kiddos, to give them some ownership of the route and education so that they'll be our future roadies.
See, two things there. First of all, Sam, I'm glad you mentioned that because I was going to bring up Sam. She is such a treasure.
And oh, my goodness.
She's the other half of the Reese Martin team that's doing so much. But this is the kind, this Explorers Club, this is the kind of project that could easily be plagiarized and adopted for other states. And can you imagine an Explorers Club for the entire route, getting a family out on the road so they visit Buck Adams and Merrimack Caverns and Grand Canyon Caverns, the Dinosaur Museum in Tucumcari. I can just picture this. This would be just wonderful.
Amazing. You know, I can't speak for Sam and can barely speak for the association, but from a state's perspective, you know, a rising tide lifts all ships.
Yes.
So if we can get, kiddos engaged in any state, any international traveler, national traveler, if we can get them engaged, then we're building future roadies, right? And so they'll eventually make it to Oklahoma because we have the longest stretch, right? Mm-hmm. So we would encourage all of our states in all 8 states on the route to, you know, look at how you can engage these future roadies because, you know, we've still got 100 more years, right? Mm-hmm. At least on this route.
Well, you know, I don't know if I'll make that. I'm planning on at least another 20, maybe 30. I can stretch it. You know what we need to do? And now we could be a good time to talk about this or start thinking about this. The Miles of Possibility Conference. You know, that gets overlooked a lot. And that event is very close to what the old U.S. Highway 66 Association was doing with their annual conventions, like the big one out in Elk City, Oklahoma, back in 1932. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And it'd be great to bring like this Explorers Club and network and start building that community of partnerships. Because mm-hmm. Like Casey Claypool is with us this morning with Illinois Scenic Byways.
Hey, Casey.
And she mentioned that she'd like to talk to you about that Explorers Club. And there we go.
I love it. You know, I love that you brought up the Miles of Possibility conference. I was unable to attend last year, but I went the year before. And just being surrounded by people who are like-minded and who enjoy the route and the speakers. I mean, Stephanie Stuckey spoke from Stuckey's when I was there. And I just got so jazzed and so pumped up about the route and made some really great friends. And that was one of the best conferences I've ever been to. And I think people need to know it's not just for people who work on the road, right? It's for anybody who has an interest in Route 66. I love that conference.
Yeah, this year, it should be interesting. They did this a few years back. They had it on Halloween. This year will be October 31st in Edwardsville, Illinois. A couple of years back when they did this around Halloween, they had a Halloween party. And boy, did that get that got strange. But it was, that was enjoyable. We had people, Toshi Goto was there, the Japanese Route 66 Association, and others. You're working with Marion Pavel, Route 66 Navigation, on some projects as well. Is that correct?
You know, I think our state is working with him, and the association is working with him on a few projects. We hope to work with him in the future, especially leading up to 2026. On the navigation app, just to help help our travelers get through our larger communities like Tulsa in Oklahoma City. But man, that passport that he does, I just love it. I love that it spans all of the states. We're just really lucky to have him and his investment in Route 66 and what he's doing abroad.
Yeah, I've been really privileged. The passport, he's working on a centennial edition. I had a meeting with him and Joyce Cole this past fall. And this is something for anybody listening out there, event organizers, if you'll keep me posted with events. I've been tasked with creating a events calendar for the Route 66 navigation app. Wow. And I was working on that this weekend. I think there's like 40, 50 events for the year already listed. But gosh, the more events, the better. And if we can get events for the centennial, we'll put them out there because a lot of the internationals are already asking about centennial events.
Absolutely. We'll be sending you lots of those from Oklahoma.
Very good. Very good. I'll get them on the app. Generally within a week, I can get them up. Brady Wilson has a question about the AAA Route 66 Road Fest. Any input on that? I think Wade Bray is putting that together, correct, with AAA?
You know, I think there's several people who are contributing to that. You know, the Road Fest is so much fun. I love how it's laid out. So when you go to the event, you can walk through these separate exhibits, and each one is dedicated to a different decade along the route. And there are actors there who are in the, you know, in the regalia from that decade, and will talk to you about experiences and things like that that you would have found on Route 66. There's car shows. There's all kinds of shopping, local vendors, lots of Maine, Oklahoma products, which you know I love. It's just really such a fun way to kind of immerse yourself in Route 66 in one place. You know, usually when you're driving, you get somewhere, you visit, and then you leave. But here, you can come and stay for most of the day and just be immersed in all of the Route 66 culture. It is just a blast.
You know, one of the things that I'm really impressed with the Oklahoma Route 66 Association and the state overall that you're doing in Oklahoma, you're helping organize events in such a manner that they support the people who've invested in the businesses. You're creating events that foster development of that sense of community and community purpose, and linking these communities for, creating a larger community along the Route 66 corridor. That too is pretty impressive.
Well, thank you for that. You know, I think in Oklahoma, we identify as like a small town state, even in Tulsa, in Oklahoma City, and our larger communities is, you know, agriculture is important to us. Oil and gas is important to us. Our neighbors are important to us. You know, in this state, when you drive down the road, we still wave at each other, especially if you're on a back road. We still wave, you know, do the little hand flip on the steering wheel. If someone's broke down, 9 times out of 10, somebody's going to pull over and help you. We call that the Oklahoma spirit. And so in that spirit, we want our neighbors to thrive. We want our main streets to thrive because that helps our state, that helps our schools, that helps all of us. And so we really, I know a lot of things are lip service, and these kinds of talks are lip service, but I think you really will find in Oklahoma that we're just real friendly and we're talkers. So be prepared. We'll tell you our whole life story when you stop in to ask directions. But that's what you get in Oklahoma.
Yeah, I was just in California, and the people there seem to wave a lot, but they seem to be missing seem to be missing fingers.
You get an entire finger wave at Oklahoma, unless you cut someone off, and then I can't make any promises.
Yeah, a lot of people were waving. They were so friendly in California. They waved at me, and I was sorry that they were missing fingers. But that's another story. The Road Fest is a great event. Gosh, there's just so many things in Oklahoma that you're doing. One of the big exciting projects there, of course, is the Pony Bridge out of the Canadian River. That is impressive. That is visionary from the state to save that bridge.
You know, you are right. And we are very fortunate to have Secretary Tim Gatz of ODOT. He grew up in Route 66 in Bridgeport, Oklahoma. And so I think that's really where his love comes from of the route. But he, this is just as much their party as it is all the rest of our party, right? Because we're celebrating this road. And to have the vision of Bridgeport Bridge to take, this really long, again, Reese is cringing right now, this huge bridge, and to save the trusses on the side and to come up with a way to honor the past but to make it modern. So let me tell you about this bridge. It's unbelievable. And so what they did was they used this first technique we've ever done in Oklahoma, and it's one of the first in the world, is they've taken these pre-made concrete panels, and there's 1,638 of these concrete panels, and they laid them down with about 18 inches in between. And then they came through with ultra high performance concrete, which has these steel fibers in it, and essentially grouted these huge panels together. Now, traditionally, if they didn't use this UHPC, the gutters would have been like 24 or to 36 inches. And so it adds a lot more weight, right? And so because they're using this high performance concrete, they were able to make it lighter, and it shaved 6 months off of their project. It's unbelievable. And so people from around the world are coming to look at this bridge and see how they can use it. But the great thing is, and I can tell you this past week and going forward, they've taken the trusses, they have painted them, showed them some TLC, and now they're putting them back on. So, I think it is such a good example of kind of what we're trying to do in this state, is that we want to honor that history. We want to share preservation tactics. We want to tell you why Route 66 is important. But we're also doing it in a modern way, in an intentional way. And so just super proud of our Department of Transportation and that bridge.
Well, a 6 month saving, that's a huge financial saving. Yes. When you cut that amount of time off.
Yes.
And the bridges on Route 66 years ago when I met with the World Monuments Fund, the bridges, almost all of them on Route 66, are scheduled for replacement or overdue. But if we lose those bridges, that bridge, the Gasconade Bridge, the one by Victorville on the Mojave River, mm-hmm. we lose something very important, because modern bridges are so generic. They're so sterile. And so if we can bridge the gap, blur the line between past, the present, the future, we save the idiosyncratic nature of a traveling on Route 66. Really important. And there again, you folks are taking a leadership position.
Well, thank you for that. Well, Jim, in late April, we will be opening the bridge, and we would love to have you come out. We are going to have a big party. We're talking classic cars, sock hops, all kinds of fun things. So we'll get that on your calendar. Maybe you can make it out.
I'll add it to the calendar, see what stranger things have happened in my world. I would be, it'd be really great to see that, because that drive from over the bridge and then down along the original pavement into Hydro, past Lucille's and towards Weatherford. That's a unique opportunity for a bit of time travel. I envision I got to have one of these days, I'm going to have to get a Model A Ford and drive Route 66. I can imagine driving that section in a 1930 Ford.
It would be pretty magical. You know, I do love that stretch of Route 66 so much because it is more rural. And you can imagine what it was like when the route opened, like what it was like actually traveling down Route 66. It just, it's such a beautiful part of the drive. And then you end up in Hydro, Oklahoma. And let me tell you what, Hydro is planning some really big, exciting things for the route. So maybe that's something I could share with you at a later date.
Sure. Join us anytime. You know, like say, Royal Oklahoma, you've got the leadership and passionate people with an infectious enthusiasm, yourself, Reese Martin, Sam, your lieutenant governor. And you've been focused on Centennial for quite a few years now. And you've been beating the drum, and by leadership, you're getting people motivated, getting people excited. So I expect to see some pretty amazing things happen for the Centennial.
Well, I hope it comes to that. I can't imagine all this hard work by so many different people and us not be able to really create a magical experience. You know, I would be remiss to say if, you know, we're hoping that you come to Oklahoma and you don't want to leave.
Well, this, you know, this is something else. You know, like we talked about, if you make a community a place people want to visit, you make it a place they want to live. And now with modern technologies, remote work, things of that nature, it's easy for people to consider doing that to other areas. And as I recall, Tulsa had an innovative program where they were paying people to come and try to live there for a year.
You know, they did have a really great program, and I do not remember the specifics about that. I'm so sorry, but they did. But you know, what's great about our state is that we're an affordable state to visit and to live in. And so we are finding our numbers going up, our population numbers going up, because we have a lot of people coming from larger cities, a lot of people from California who are coming here to live and work and retire because we are such an affordable state. I would like to think and know that as from the Department of Commerce that our state is a great place to start a business. There's so many resources available. And so hopefully we've positioned ourselves well to become a place that everybody wants to stay, come and visit.
One of the things, maybe I've overlooked it, but Oklahoma has such a large Native American population. But I see this all along the road. I don't see a lot of Native American participation in Route 66 as of yet. Am I missing something? Or?
You know, that is a really great point. And that's one that we are exploring in our state. You know, a lot of times, when it comes to Route 66, there is a lot of examples of misappropriated cultural assets, meaning teepees and things that are shown that are used for purposes that are not explaining culture or could maybe sometimes be considered insensitive. And so what we're doing is we are working with our tribal nations to talk about, you know, how to talk about these stories and how to share and educate travelers about what that looks like, because that's a whole side of a Route 66 story that isn't talked about normally that's valuable. However, I would like to say we just had the Cherokee Nation open the Anna Mitchell Cultural Center in Veneta, Oklahoma. And it's unbelievable, Jim. They just won an international award for the museum with the layout and how they're telling stories and sharing their culture on the route. And so that's got to be, I think, on everybody's itinerary, because it's just a beautiful way that they're sharing their culture with the world right there on Route 66.
You know, there's a fine line. This is a delicate balancing act with it, when it comes to the Native Americans, because like at Lupton, Arizona, David Yellow Horse and others, exploiting the culture of the Native Americans, the romanticized image, the John Wayne movie thing, that's a big part of the Route 66 experience, but it's also insulting to the culture. So balancing that with education and the real Native American experience and culture, I don't remember exactly. I was quite young. It was 1959. And yes, I am that old, by the way. we made our first trip west, and my dad had pictures somewhere along New Mexico, Arizona line. There was a trading post, and it had billboards like the Jackrabbit Trading Post, see live rattlesnake, see, you know, all this. The last billboard was 200 yards, see live Indian.
Wrong.
But that's part of the Route 66 story as well. And trying to balance that and give people a true picture. And we talk about the economic opportunities. The Native American reservations, Peach Springs, the Hualapai Reservation, historically are economically challenged. So this presents a pretty neat opportunity.
Absolutely. You know, I think that a lot of times when we talk about Route 66, you know, it's so fun. Route 66 is just fun. And we focus a lot on the fun and the freedom and all of that exciting part. But there's another side to it, right? There are stories that weren't fun. Not everybody got their kicks on Route 66. You know, we could also pull in the African American experience as well. And, you know, I think it is just as important, if not more important, Jim, to tell those stories.
I agree.
They typically have not had a space to tell that story. And I can tell you, in Oklahoma, we are making those spaces, not only for our Native American nations, but also for our African American experience. I don't know if you're familiar with the Threat Family Filling Station in Lufkin, Oklahoma. Couldn't meet nicer people. It is still in the family. You know, they were freed slaves from Cherokee, from the Cherokee Nation. And they got this 160-acre plot of land. They were farmers. Route 66 came along. They were like, hey, let's open up a vegetable stand right here. And that morphed into a filling station and a restaurant and a safe haven, because, you know, the next larger town down was a sundown town.
Yeah.
And so if you left Tulsa and you didn't make it in time, you pulled over behind the Threat filling station and you spent the night in your car because that was the safest place. So all of those stories are just as important to share. And we are dedicated in this state to tell those stories.
Yeah, we have a tendency. Michael Wallace, another Oklahoma treasure, talked about Route 66 being a linear community. But it's also a living museum, and it is, it's a challenge. You know, when I have people talk to me about the glory days of Route 66, we forget that the 1950s were the glory days on Route 66, depending on what color you were.
Yes, exactly.
And so balancing this, you don't want to find out that there were axe murders at Disneyland. This is a theme park, but it's an educational opportunity. And like with the service station there in Luther, this gives us an opportunity to reach out to a new audience, heal old wounds, and come together again, building that sense of community through recognition and developing things. Your Greenwood District, what you've done there with that, perfect example.
You know, I think Greenwood is, you're right, the perfect example of how we can honor not honor. I don't know what the perfect word is, Jim, but
recognize.
There you go. Recognize the past and shine some light on it. You know, say, hey, you know, this is what happened. This is reality. And so let's learn from it and let's just be better. And yeah. I think, again, you know, that adds texture to the Route 66 story, right? A lot of times I tell my communities, you can drive from Chicago to LA and you will see pink Cadillacs. You will see fuzzy dice. You'll see all those fun things. But in Oklahoma, we want each of our communities, including Greenwood, including the Threat Filling Station and the tribal nations, to tell their authentic story.
Yes.
We want you to share what the route really meant to you in your community. And I think by doing that, I think you build legitimacy to your mm-hmm. story. And I think you become memorable for, you know, having the courage and to say, hey, listen, this is how it was and this is how it's not going to be.
Well, these things become milestones on how we've progressed as a people and how far we have to go. And Route 66, there's a certain responsibility because of what Route 66 has become. There's a certain responsibility to tell that story, to share America's story. Regardless of how uncomfortable it is, it yes. gives us perspective on how things have changed. And with Route 66, we do have a tendency to focus or see it in the context of neon tail fins and I like Ike buttons. But it was much, much more. And you've got to be at least, I guess, my age, 65 plus, to really remember Route 66 when it was Route 66. And well, to be blunt, I think it's better today. You can have your cake and eat it too, to borrow a phrase. I think Route 66 is more exciting and dynamic than any time in its history.
I would agree with you. And I can only imagine, you know, I know what's going on in Oklahoma, but I don't necessarily know everything that's going across all eight states leading up to 2026. And so, you know, I'm excited to see what everyone is working on and the stories that they're, you know, they're exploring and will be telling. I think you're right. I think the opportunity that we have in the U.S. to share all of these American stories is tremendous. And I just can't wait to see what everybody is going to come up with and do.
I'm really excited by this and I get energized. I'm very fortunate because I get to see this. We have a tendency to, if we see this Arizona sunrise every day, we have a tendency to get jaded a little bit. Yeah. So I get to see it through the eyes of visitors all the time. So it keeps my perspective fresh. And being involved with travelers, I'm very fortunate that way. And it's really exciting. I was just out in California. I had a meeting with Scott Piotrowski of the California Route 66 Association and Toshi Goto of the Japanese mm-hmm. Route 66 Association. And they've got ideas, they got plans, but they have not found the spark yet, the to get people really excited. It's still missing. And that's why I'm hoping, like today's program, and I want to thank you very much for doing this, taking time from your schedule. People need to get some inspiration and ideas and excitement. And you have that infectious enthusiasm. So let's see if we can spread that a tad bit.
Well, thank you. That's quite the compliment. Again, I think it all stems from what's going on in our state. And again, I have the best job in the world to get to hang out with these amazing Oklahomans and help them dream big. And so, you know, thank you for your sweet compliment. It's really exciting.
Well, you know, you mentioned Vinita. Of course, they've got the big development going on there. But now I have a third reason to really stop in Vinita, the new Cherokee Museum. Previously, my primary reasons for stopping in Vinita was the cobbler at Clanton's Cafe, and yes. of course, Beth Hilburn's Highway Cafe has always been that's a neat new addition to the road. That's goodness. Really impressive.
She's killing it up there in Vinita. Let me tell you, she's just added a second muffler man.
I saw that.
Yeah, the chief. He's amazing. And I'll tell you, I was there just a couple of weeks ago and tried the pancakes, and they're ranked like the top three in the state, and they are not to be missed. So you'll have to stop at Beth's there at Highway Cafe, get the camp pancakes, and then go over to Clampett's and have the cobbler. Listen, you're going to gain 40 pounds the next time you're in Oklahoma.
Well,
see to it.
The only way I can see to do this is to walk Route 66 instead of drive, because otherwise we're going to have some serious issues. Oh, gosh, there's Beth. Pancakes for everyone.
Oh, I love it. I love it. Hi, Beth.
Listen, there's something we can do is organize a Route 66 cruise and stop at the Highway Cafe for a pancake get together.
Well, listen, now that you've said that, Beth has already planned it. She's so amazing. In 30 seconds, she has planned the whole thing for us.
Well, you know, that's a thought. I one of the things that's turned up a lot, people asking me, and I couldn't see any way to do it, is a organized event, so to speak. But I'm getting a lot of inquiries about Route 66 cruise for the centennial. And, you know, if we could somehow coordinate a series of events 2 or 3 days apart from Chicago to, so people could join in. You can only spend 2 days, then that's fine. Mm-hmm. You're in Oklahoma. If you can drive the whole rate, great. But the Model A Ford Club has been interested. I've had people with the Studebaker Drivers Club that's showing an interest. There's a car club in Norway that wants to ship their cars over and do Route 66. Yeah, this is good stuff.
Let's do it, Jim. Let's plan it.
Well, you know, I started working on this 51 Chevy panel truck as a rolling Route 66 information center, and I've come to the conclusion I'm not 20 anymore, so I may have to go a different route. But I'd like to do this with a Model A in the Centennial and make it a rolling promotional vehicle for the Route 66 community. My dearest friend, my wife of 40 years, she's up for sainthood this year. All the things that she's put up with. And I've gotten her into some adventures. But when I keep talking about this Model A, she said, that sounds exciting. I hope you can find someone to go with you.
Yeah, you know, Jim, my dad restored a 48 Pontiac, which is much later, but it was always broken. So just make sure that you plan extra time for the side of the road.
Yeah, that's part of the adventure of the old cars, though. Carrie, I want to thank you so much for taking time from your Sunday to do this. I've enjoyed it immensely, and judging by the comments here, we got people from all over the country, and it seems like people are really excited. So, thank you so very much, not only for this morning, but for what you're doing in Oklahoma. Your dedication to this is greatly appreciated.
Jim, thank you. And thank you for just giving me a chance to talk about my state and to talk about what we're doing. We're so excited here, and we just want to create an amazing experience for everyone. And so, listen, anytime you want to come to Oklahoma, you call me. So now we're eating across Route 66, and we're planning this big thing, some kind of cruise. So it sounds like you and I've got some work to do, friend.
Oh, well, we'll start out at Maisel's in Texola.
Okay. Yeah, absolutely.
Apple pie and coffee. And that should tide us over until we get to, I don't think I can make it to Weatherford without stopping to eat again. So
yeah, no, we can hook you up. I'll get it all planned out.
That sounds good. You know, the whole idea behind this program when I set this up was exactly this: to share America's story and to inspire road trips by telling people where to go and giving people a venue and a platform. And so I've been really grateful that you joined us on this. Okay. We're going to have some fun. I got some stuff coming up in the next couple of weeks. We're going to be talking next week to Angie Paterik of the Route 66 Information Station. And I got something really fun on the 11th of February. We're going to talk to Ned Luchner. He's the owner of Cool Springs. It's a roadside attraction here in Arizona that was originally opened in 1925. It burned to the ground in the 1960s, was rebuilt as a movie set, and blown up for the movie Universal Soldier. And then Ned got it and recreated it as a 1930s time capsule. And I'm a little prejudiced. It's on a part of Route 66 through the Black Mountains of Arizona. And that might be one of the most scenic parts of Route 66. I don't think a one-eyed blind man can take a bad photo out there. And then on the 25th, we'll talk to Roy Pickerel, the owner of the White Elephant in Livingston, Illinois. So we're going to have some fun. And got to give a shout out to a couple great people here. Check out the Route 66 navigation app. I just added a bunch of new events to that. David Brenner at the Roadrunner Lodge, he's going gangbusters out in Tucumcari, and he's got some big plans for the 1940s section of the motel that was built around in the 60s. And I just got off the phone with Connie Eccles at the Wagon Wheel Motel. She's doing all kinds of work on the property there in Cuba, getting ready for a busy season and looking forward to the centennial. And then I talked to Angela Moreland down the road there in McLean, Texas. She has the Cactus Inn Motel. And she's got some interesting projects going in downtown McLean that I think people are going to be noticing real soon. So, guys, I want to thank everybody who chimed in this morning. Thank you for your questions. Thanks for joining us. We got all kinds of folks here, Carrie. We got Maggie May. She's with Motor Cities in Michigan and the Ransom E. Olds Museum. Casey Claypool with Illinois Scenic Byway and Docks just off 66. If you get to Illinois, you need to stop by Docks off 66 in Girard. All I can say about she's first of all, the food is excellent. It's a great restaurant, but it's a monument to hoarders. Anybody, if you're a hoarder and people give you a hard time, point to Casey's place. Incredible pharmacy museum. Thank God that that family preserved all of that history. My friends, we will do this again next week, same time, and I'm going to continue with the new series I've been working on for the YouTube channel, In Search of Lost Highways. It's another one of my Mayberry television program episodes, because I have no clue what I'm doing, but we just bluff and pretend we do. Until we meet again, I want to thank everybody, and well, we'll do this again next week. We'll send this off with a little bit of music from Joe and Woody and the boys of the road crew. Carrie, once again, thank you so very much. It's been a real pleasure.
Thank you for having me.
You bet. Until we meet again, my friends, I guess we'll bid adios and give some thought to having, let's get together for some pancakes and coffee and cobbler in Veneta, Oklahoma. Take care, my friends. Vaya con Dios. Bye-bye, bye. Carrie.
Say hello to a new friend on an old road. Take a two-lane trip of memories into mysteries unknown. Come along for the ride. Jim Hinckley's America. Jim Hinckley's America.
I'll have this program published later this morning. It'll be on Spotify and other channels. It'll also be archived player on our website, jimhinckleysamerica.com. And I'll also get a blog post up in the next few days with links to the various websites, the Oklahoma Route 66 Association, and other information that you can find about Tulsa, their grant program in Oklahoma, the Road Fest. I'll get a blog post up in the next couple days, and we'll get that information out for you. My friends, till we meet again, adios.